guys, and welcome to Concentrated Podcast Presents Heralds of the MCU. I'm Maria, and I am joined by my two co-hosts, Eric.
Hello.
And, of course, the lovely Manera.
Hey, guys.
So we're back to cover the final three episodes of Marvel's of the Disney Plus Marvel show, She-Hulk. It always feels like you got, like, now with Disney, it's so much, like, Disney Plus this, and et cetera.
Well, even then, you left out some, because technically it's She-Hulk, Attorney at Law.
Yeah, exactly. Some of these names are way too long. But we're here to talk about the last three episodes, episodes 7 through 9, titled The Retreat, Ribbit and Rip It, and Whose Show Is This? So as always, I want to start with some first impressions now that we've gotten the season done. First thoughts on the final three episodes and then the season as a whole. So, Manera, I'm going to start with you. What were your thoughts on these last three episodes and then kind of the season as a whole?
My thoughts on all three episodes were, yay, give me more. Oh, wait, it's getting ready to end. Yay, give me more. Oh, wait, it's getting ready to end. Yay, right. Give me more. Oh, it ended. And so as a whole, I really enjoyed this series. I really enjoyed Jen's story. I felt like they really understood what they were doing, what they wanted to accomplish, and I feel like they stuck the landing. I also really want to see Jen again. I hope that this gets a second season. I like everyone that we have met, and I feel like these people could be a part of the MCU, but in a smaller scale, in their scale. Like, I think they did a really good job fleshing out everyone that they needed to. And I cannot wait to see more of Jen's story along with everyone else. I think they did a really good job. And I really enjoy Jen. I just do. I think that Tatiana did a very good job. And I don't know why we're all surprised, like, Orphan Black. And then that's it. Like, she just really did a very good job as Jen, and she knew who she was. And I feel like I know who Jen is now. So right. I like that. Yeah.
Awesome. What about you, Eric?
Yeah, all of that plus Daredevil. Charlie Cox obviously is back and looks amazing. I love the new suit. Like, they added hints of gray in there. They made the eyes black, which is perfect against, like, the red and yellow coloring that they do. And it looks perfect, and it moves well. And even in bright daylight, like, you never see in the original Daredevil, you never see his suit during the day. But in this, especially in the last episode, he's standing outside in the middle of the afternoon, which was another thing that Jen pointed out about them, you know, everything happening at night. And I also enjoy that they called Marvel on their own shit and realized that, like, oh yeah, we do this in every movie and show. So maybe, you know, it's a joke, but it's a serious criticism that they addressed. And I'm glad that they did.
Can I add on to his Daredevilness? Daredevil has never seemed so lighter than he did in here. Like, I know that he's dark, and I know that he's got a lot going on with this, but I really enjoyed, and we'll get to it, but I really enjoyed the lightness that Charlie Cox brought to Matt, like, and the flirting. I mean, we got a lot of that. It's kind of the same flirting that we got when he was with Claire, but in a lighter and kind of breathy, like, it was a breath of fresh air for me with Daredevil. Not to say that I don't enjoy the Daredevil that we got in the Netflix, but I like this new Daredevil, and I'm excited to see him in the Disney Plus universe.
Yeah, they kind of have to. The way that he acts as the character now, similar to how we saw him in No Way Home, spoilers if you haven't seen No Way Home, he interacts with Jen the way he interacts with other superheroes in the comics. Like, it's not so deep down and dark. Like, in the comics, which is one of the things I'm excited about, you know, if we get Tom Holland back, Daredevil and Spider-Man are, like, best friends, and they hang out and they go on patrols, and they're always, like, they have a friendship, and it's natural, and it's written as such, and it's written like two friends talking, and it's never, like, super dark and gritty, and he's not telling him, you know, about a priest that got murdered, or, you know, his dad being, you know, gunned down, and, you know, all of the sad things that we know about Daredevil. it's fun and it's light, and it's kind of like what we get at the end of this with him and Jen's family, and you know, him just being not in control for once, which is something weird for Matt because he's always in control of his situation. So it's nice to see him a little, you know, coy and shy and awkward. I enjoyed it. Like, especially when he just drops down in the end and he's like, oh, it's over? Oh, okay. Well, I guess I'll hang out.
Yeah, and you know, it's a great different show. And I feel like every Marvel show we've said, oh, well, this is a little bit different than that and blah, blah, blah. But like, to the point of Marvel addressing the criticisms that they get in their own way, like everything about this show was different. And I think that's why we all love it so much. And it's very funny because I feel like the visceral reaction, people either love this show or hate it. Like, there's no in between.
Well,
and
I just, best part.
I find that, that so comical. That
hated, yeah, the people that hate it aren't the ones that realize that the show is making fun of you.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, like, it's the same people that, like I literally know someone who from the first, like, two episodes was like, oh, it's so stupid. I hate it. Blah, 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 feminism. And then you talk to them now, and they're like, oh, it was great. I was so happy with it. Oh, I can't believe they did that. It's like, yeah, that's what happens when you judge something as a whole rather than a piece of it. And you stop being a fucking idiot, you know. Oof. That's just to some of the you know, the criticisms that I've heard personally, but I'm pretty sure the whole internet sounds like that one guy. So yeah, stop being a fucking idiot. Judge things as a whole.
I think that the criticism that I heard and about especially episode 9 was a frustration that it wasn't like the exact ending that they weren't doing, right? And it's like, help me make it make sense. All right.
Everyone was Yeah, they were expecting the big Marvel ending. They were expecting, you know, Moon Knight, where there's literally two gigantic gods fighting in the middle of Cairo. Or, you know, WandaVision, where there's two witches flying around shooting magic at each other and two giant robot men fighting each other.
Right? Like,
or the finale of Captain America and the Winter Soldier, where they're running around stopping a world-ending thing. Like, no, this is just her getting people arrested and getting people to apologize at a, at a retreat in the middle of the afternoon. And Titania just happened to be there. And then Daredevil popped up.
Right. Like,
but he wasn't needed. It was already done.
And that's the thing.
Were thrown.
You go to the movies, you complain like, oh, it was good. But, you know, it's like every other Marvel movie. And then they give you a show that's different. It's like, why isn't it more like the other Marvel movies? And it's like, well, make up your fucking mind. Which one do you want?
And 20 minutes later, if you complain that it's not like every other Marvel movie, then you're just like, oh, yeah, you know what? It do be like that sometimes. Like, I remember Iron Man ended up fighting bigger Iron Man, and then Iron Man 2, he ended up fighting bigger Iron Man with whips. And then Iron Man 3, he fought a whole bunch of Iron Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, all that's always been my biggest complaint is that, like, and even as much as I love Black Panther, the Killmonger fight, while it's hard to make out what's happening because it's weird, but it's hard to make out because it's two guys dressed almost identical fighting each other.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm hoping that's not what we get with Wakanda Forever, but still, that has been one of Marvel's biggest complaints for going on a decade now, because people have suddenly figured out that, like, oh, okay, by the end we'll basically be fighting opposite version or same version. And I'm glad because they even went this way with that with what's the guy's name, Todd, yeah,
creepy Todd, yeah,
with him getting Hulk powers. And she even pointed out, she's like, what, ew, why is he a Hulk now? How does that even work? Does injecting my blood into him just make him a Hulk? And I was like, I was worried because when they did it, I was like, oh no, they're going to get another, you know, evil Hulk, and it's going to be, you know. And I also didn't like that, you know, Bruce just dropped out of nowhere and was
right,
like, oh yeah,
literally
I'll fight
nowhere.
Him so it doesn't seem sexist that, you know, this gigantic Hulk man is beating on a woman, which felt like a thing that a writer would put in there. Like, oh, we can't have the woman fighting a man. And then they just literally, like, 5 minutes later, they addressed all of my concerns. It was like, yeah, we thought about all this because we realize it's 2022, and good writing exists if you let other people into the writing room. So,
ooh.
And you saw the writing room, like the people in the writing room.
Yeah, that's
the
actual writers,
the actual crew. Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh. All right. Well, let's back it up to episode 7. Jen ends up having to visit Blonsky's wellness retreat, and she actually makes some new friends.
Well, after she gets ghosted.
Ooh, let's talk about it.
Yeah, let's Maria. Let's talk about it. So
the fuck? We knew it too. We were like, he is too cute and too sweet. Watch mm-hmm. him be garbage. And mm-hmm. it's like, he was garbage. And it's like,
literal.
Why?
Literal garbage.
Garbage.
Why? And also, how terrible of a human being must you be to spend that much time with somebody, actually get to know them and see they're a nice person, only to fuck them over? Oh, wait. That's like most people's dating experience.
Yeah.
Or undercover cops, because, you know, ACAB.
Right, or undercover cops. Yeah, we can't forget about them. Like, it's like, oh my God. Like,
yeah. Wasn't great. Wasn't great at all.
I felt so bad for her. I have been that person, like, checking the phone, mm-hmm. checking the phone. You know, did I miss a message? Like, all of that. Like, that one hurt. That one mm-hmm. hit me.
Deep inside. Anybody that's been in the dating scene, that one was like... Yeah, let's talk about. Ooh, don't send that. Oh, okay, all right, mm-hmm. okay. Mm-hmm. I even had my fiance ask me like, okay, but like, I feel like that's kind of cute, and I was like, yeah, it was cute, but that's the thing. Like, it's not cute in the dating world. Like, if
right.
he's ghosted
it's
her,
cute to
then
you,
it just
weirdo
seems, right.
as you're watching it. Like, oh, she really right. likes him. Aww, when you're right. in it, that shit ain't cute.
Mm-mm.
It's heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. It is debilitating. It makes you feel like you are less than. Like, and that's the sad part. Like, she didn't even have to say anything. Like, just looking at her face, I could feel every emotion that I knew she was feeling. Because guess what? As a person that's dated, I've had those emotions. It was,
been
like,
there.
So perfectly done.
Been there, buddy. Yeah. All right. So, trauma. Can we roll into the retreat, or do we still want to talk about this drama?
No. I think the trauma's been covered. All right. Thanks, Marvel. Thanks for giving us some more trauma. Yeah.
Well, she goes to the retreat because she gets an alert that Blonsky's inhibitor was acting funny, and his parole officer is too scared to go up there on his own because, you know, he also can be the abomination. So he calls the only superhero he knows. Or the only Hulk he knows. Because he's being a big old bitch.
He for real was being a big old bitch. And he was like, oh, it's not working. Okay, bye.
Yeah.
He
well,
rolled out fucking quick. Like, the hell?
I love when he's like trying to get the gate open. And she just goes, beep, beep, and she goes through. He's like, Jen, please, no, don't go fast. Like, be with me. That's my favorite thing. The fact that he's always like, ho 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 ho, hey, you may not be scared of him, but regular people are. So if you could
right.
just like,
slow down.
I don't know, get big. I don't know what you do, but could you do it so that I can feel protected? That'd be fantastic. Thank you so much.
I feel like, Eric, I owe you an apology.
A lot of people say that and then they don't do it, but yeah.
No. I do owe you an apology because in that moment, it made me think of all of the times that as the older sister that's only 5'2.5", I've looked at you as my younger brother who is 6'4", and been like, Eric, just go grab that thing. Like, go hang that thing. Like, you're tall. And in watching that, I was like, oh, that must be what tall people feel like when short people are like, can you ...
Yeah, just open that jar. Just do that.
Right. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Also, it's not an Easter egg. It's actually a really cool, like, thing to pay attention to. She apparently is walking around in her new Hulk clothes. mm-hmm. But, like, she is wearing essentially the dress that she wore to what's her name's wedding, to the pre-wedding, but she is wearing mm-hmm. it as a shirt now, knowing that she'll have to transform and doesn't want to fuck up her good clothes. I thought that was a really nice touch, just to show like the personality of Jen and like the ability to make new outfits out of existing clothes, you know, to work with your everyday new lifestyle. I thought that was really cool, both for her and for the costuming department.
Huh. That is cool. And I didn't notice it until you just said it. Damn, Eric. All right.
Yeah, it's like she tucked the dress into her capris mm-hmm. so that, you know, and even then the capris are full pants, and then when she becomes She-Hulk, they become capris. It's just good character and costume design.
Well, I mean, everything about her visit to the retreat, I felt, was just very well designed. Like, the space itself, the idea that you've got these, like, people with powers that really need to talk through their shit because they've got problems. And, like, Blonsky legit being, like, a good wellness therapist in this situation. Like, who actually expected that to be the case?
Well, I like that they've subverted the expectation that he would still, like, even with everything that comes about in episode 9, like, he was the abomination, but he wasn't doing it in some malicious way. He was doing it because that's what the people wanted, and he wanted to make extra money. He wasn't becoming the abomination to, like, go in, and he wasn't going to fight with them. Even after Tom became like an evil Hulk person, he wasn't on his side. He was just like, yeah, this is what you guys paid for. You paid for Abomination, and I know how to get around the system. So, and it also makes you think that, like, yeah, it wasn't a mistake. He's been turning into the Abomination. In episode 7, when they go to check out his inhibitor, he'd been doing this before, and he's probably been making money on the side, which is why his comeuppance in episode 9 makes a lot more sense and is more satisfying.
But did you see his like retreat home? He needs to make money. That thing is massive.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he's got
I get that his 8 wives bought him the land, but it's huge.
Yeah, I was gonna say, that was the one thing that I was disappointed, is that we didn't see his soulmates again. Like, I figured they'd be walking around the retreat or, like, helping him out. The only person you really see outside of him at the retreat at any other time is what's his name from the Wrecking Crew, who was a red herring that obviously didn't pay off. It was like, okay, you legitimately turned your life around and stopped being a troll. Like, that's
right.
Shocking. And maybe I'm just conditioned to think that, like, you guys are going to be pieces of shit your whole life, but, like, good
100%,
for you.
100%. 100%. I enjoyed that immensely, because in episode 9, when we get to the retreat, the whole time that Jen is interacting with him, I'm, like, looking at him like this.
You were waiting for the turn.
Yes. Yeah. And then there was never any turn. Like, when he tells her where Blonsky is, I'm still like this. But then, like, afterwards, I'm like, oh, so you genuinely really did care. You genuinely wanted Jen to just delete his number because that's a good and healthy thing to do. You genuinely wrote in there from the gut. Like, you worked out your demons with Jen, and you felt good about it, and you all were her friend. Okay. Yeah, no, I that was another thing that I really liked.
I was shocked, because especially in episode 7, when he basically talks her down and he's like, yeah, why don't you tell us as Jen? I was expecting, like, when she turned back into Jen, for him to try to get her blood. And I just kept expecting it, and I kept expecting it, and they just
and
kept
diverting
my expectation. And I was like, oh, huh, okay. And then episode 9, he was like, I was expecting him to do something sinister, but no, he literally just showed her where the tea was and was like, oh, you're looking for Blonsky? He's down at the barn. Cool. All right, I'm gonna go take a nap.
Right.
Like, oh, okay, well, good for you. Like, I even expected, even when they got to the barn, I was expecting him to be in there.
Yes.
Like, in his Wrecking Crew costume, waiting to fight She-Hulk. But, like, no, he was like, good for you. You can, you know, you got your Zuko moment. You know, you became a decent dude.
Or, and people that hate the show, look at that. They're showing that people can change.
Yeah, they presented you with a different set of opinions, and you heard them out, and then heard from the people that you've offended, and then you were like, oh, you know what? I am wrong. Let me do better. Do better, internet. Do better.
I think that Blonsky using Abomination in his best Tony Roberts efforts to make money was priceless. Because I'm like, you're turning into Abomination, but you're getting on stage trying to give them the wellness pep talk. Like, you're trying to sell your books and do your spiel, but as
the most generic too, because he never he never puts in what the actual group's deal is. It's just, you know, yeah, you do it to the best of your ability, whatever you're doing. Yeah, you make the world, I mean, I guess, an okay place because you're here. Yay! Like, it's like, no. Not this group.
Right. Not this group, guys. I enjoyed the little jab at paid speakers that do that. Because yeah, exactly. You come in with these generic ass messages with whatever your little show is, and people are like, it's stupid. Like, I went to a conference once and Magic Johnson was the keynote speaker. And listen, it was cool to be able to like him pull me out the crowd and take a picture of him. But when you think about what he was saying, I was like, this Negro up here telling these crackers the most ridiculously vague motivational thing to go run call centers. Okay, whatever, dude. Like, it's a sham. The whole industry is a fucking sham. And good for Blonsky for taking advantage of it and making a little cash on the side.
Well, yeah, because I mean, the government did screw him over, like he said, in it's not the raft. Where is it?
No, he was in the raft, and then they
moved him to the damage control prison.
Yeah,
that's what it meant. In the damage control little bubble that we met him in, like he was saying, like, I thought I was going to be the good guy. The government screwed me over. So what am I supposed to do with that? What do I do?
Yeah, he was kind of pumped up in Incredible Hulk to, you know, to be the one that was going to stop the Hulk, because he had General Ross telling him, you know, oh, you're the best of the best. Why don't you take this experimental serum that we just threw together? Oh, it didn't work? Oh, all right. Well, go to jail. You weren't bad. We didn't expect the side effects.
But that's the government. So, yeah. So we get Jen going through this transformation and kind of dealing with the inner parts, right, and the thing. And then we move into episode 8, where we finally got her getting good clothes. She's looking the part. Everything's great. And then she gets stuck representing Leapfrog, who was injured due to a quote-unquote malfunction in his custom-made supersuit. Manera, Can we just talk about how she completely lost the bag and the fit with this?
Yeah, because I side with Luke. I am Luke the whole time.
I knew it.
Like, yes, troll. I was like, yes. Like, why would you? First of all, you didn't go in there with the Luke. I know it was never you. He's dummy. I get that. So let's figure out like what exactly he did that wasn't what you told him to do, so we can get this off the ground. Instead, it was, well, my client says, so I guess that's just what it is. Maybe you should apologize. He's a dummy, Jen. Why would you go? I know he's your client, but why would you believe your client? He's a dummy.
Because Jen wants to win. And I think that this was a really good shot of her lawyer side.
She should want nice clothes instead.
I would want nice clothes instead.
Well, also, she was forced to take the case by her boss.
Right. She didn't want the case to begin with. But once she took it, she's like, well, I'm going to win this case.
He is a super person, but more so his father is a big investor, which is kind of an Easter egg, because his father is in the comics, his father is the original Leapfrog.
Yeah, I get all of that, but like,
but Luke's
he's a
close.
Dummy, right? Luke's clothes, and he's a dummy. You know how much effort and thought Luke puts into his clothes. You didn't once think to ask. And so like, okay, so you started burning up. So like, what kind of oil did you, like gas or whatever, like what did you put in there? So we can make sure when she goes back to talk to Luke, she can say, okay, so why would you tell him to put this kind of, like, there was no reason for Daredevil to make you lose if you had done your due diligence instead of going in and going, so I need you to apologize, instead of like asking him the questions.
Right. Well, I mean, Daredevil's a better lawyer. I said it.
I mean, he is, and he's cute. So I get it.
He kind of cheated. Like, without his super senses, he wouldn't be able to smell the suit and the fuel that he put in. So it's kind of cheating. It's also kind of showing off your powers in public. Jen is literally showing off her powers in public. She is walking around as She-Hulk, but it's a little, in a law sense, it's a little cheating.
Is it? Or did he just ask the questions that you were supposed to ask anyways? If the situation
it's partially cheating, and it's partially Jen not doing her due diligence. Like, she should have known, but also, like, And they the judge kind of mentions it where he's like, yeah, they can't give away the particulars of the suit. Yeah,
right, it's the proprietary design.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, she should have asked, but also Matt probably shouldn't have known unless Luke told him, like, this is the, like, giving your lawyer all of the stuff about your suit probably makes more sense. But yeah, it's they're both wrong and they're both right at the same time.
You know what's not wrong?
Right.
You know what's not wrong? That little thing they got going on, because they are cute together.
They are so cute together. I want them to be together. I want them to be on opposite sides when we get into the mutant registration. I can't wait. I'm so excited for them. I love them. Love them.
Yeah, I saw that and I was like,
Wait until Secret Wars pops up.
Oof.
I don't.
Listen, all I know is that when they hooked up, I was like, oh, Manera's Barbies are kissing. She's probably so happy right now.
They're smooching so hard. I was so happy. And then I was like, well, wait, he didn't have to do the walk of shame. I know he has to catch a flight, but then I didn't know. I thought, like, I, much like Jen, thought that was the end of the episode.
I loved the walk of shame. It was perfect.
You mean him whistling to himself like, doo, 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 doo. Morning. Doo, 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 doo.
He had a good night. He was like, you know what? I'm just going to let some crime go. It's daytime. I'm Daredevil. I work at night. Anyway, I'm going to go get some breakfast. Doo, doo, doo. Matt Murdock slinging all around town.
Oh, my
Wait till
goodness.
I tell Foggy about this.
Oh, my
And not
goodness.
Caring because she's not here anymore. Bye.
Listen. So we've got that, but then this is kind of the jump off, and I thought it was a really good setup for the final episode in 8, because Jen wins an award and she goes to get her award, and she's so proud of herself and her family's so proud, and it's this great thing. And then all of a sudden, Josh's bitch ass, like, puts all her business out there. Okay. So, well, it's a couple
not,
of things.
Not just me. That, the whole fact that the award wasn't just for her. She had been led to think that, you know, it was Jen Walters, aka She-Hulk, getting the award. When it's really like, you know, hey, these are all the female lawyers that we know of, and all of you are getting an award for being female lawyers.
Yeah.
Like, it seems derivative and I'm trying to think of all the terrible terms that you could, you know, it's sexist at its core, but
it's shit, shitty, shit, 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 fucking shit, shitty. There you go.
It feels
covered it for you.
Like our life. Anyways, moving on.
It's
like,
pandering.
Of course.
Pandering is the
It is. Yes. Is the, yes.
Of course. Those, all the women stood up. I was like, yeah, no, of course. Like, the first of all, the award was generic. Second of all, yeah, like, of fucking course. Why would Jen win when Mallory is right there? Why? I'm sure they all do a great. Why? Yeah, no, lump them all together because they're all really just one person. Mm-hmm. You don't really see them. Yeah,
you could see that Mallory had been through this before and has probably gotten this award before, and was just like, just take the award and go home. Like, that's, you know, maybe you'll get a bonus, but don't think about it.
Right, but. Intelligentsia strikes, they put up all this shit, and here was the thing that got me. Oh, she's
sorry,
terrible.
Did you
she
just,
doesn't.
Did you just Latinoify intelligentsia?
Yep. Yep.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
I did say
it.
Intelligentsia. Yes. Sorry.
Look out for the villains in Intelligentsia.
I think that sounds.
Telemundo.
It sounds a lot better than Intelligentsia.
Disney Plus Spanish. Intelligentsia. No, it's Intelligentsia.
It's like that paint commercial where Lily's like, I'm eating lasagna. That's what how they say Intelligentsia sounds to me. Intelligentsia.
Yes, intelligentsia. It sounds like a smart white man saying it. Mm-hmm. You made it sound like Ricardo Montalban is Dr. Doom, and he started intelligentsia.
I want to see you on the news telling us about it. I love that.
Telling you about intelligentsia. Mm-hmm. They are the bad guys, okay? Anyway, but here was the thing that got me with what they flashed up on the screen. She's a bad person. She's evil. This is the real Jen. Because she's fucking? Because nothing that you showed was anything outside of, like...
Well, they even throw it in at the end when he's like, oh, she's a bad person. And she's a slut. And it's like,
yeah, really? Like,
that was the worst to me. I literally said, huh? Like, you listen, half the things on her that were flashing on there, I've got. Ask me how many pictures of Chris Evans's butt do I have.
Right.
Christopher, you know how many. Like, it's just, what are we doing?
Well, it is America's ass, so.
It is America's
that's
ass.
That's for everyone. But. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I mean, it's super gross, and it's all the things that come out when, you know, male celebrities get caught doing something and female celebrities get caught doing something, and it immediately becomes slut shaming for the women as opposed to the men, whereas the men are celebrated. Like if they were to come out, if there was a Hulk sex tape, they'd be like, oh my God, the Hulk is amazing. Look what he's doing. Whereas She-Hulk, oh, she's a slut. When she had obvious, you know, genuine feelings for this, you know, paid actor.
Fucking asshole. I was really upset that we didn't see him come back and get his comeuppance. Like, I wanted him to be in that cabin and her punch him dead in his fucking face. So I'm sad that we didn't get that, but I get
it. Yeah, I was expecting him to pop out of somewhere, but I feel like that would have been it. While there is still an era of comedy, like, that would have just been, it would have taken a darker turn, like, because legitimately they put out an illegal revenge porn tape, and like, she has grounds to sue, and I'm assuming that's where everything will go from here. But like, that's a legit law that you've broken. That is a felony. So yeah, he would go to jail as well because he was knowing in it. Yeah. Law stuff. Lawyer show.
And I like that Mallory was trying to help her keep it together. Like,
she was fine until that sex tape popped up. Yeah, yeah, sorry girl. And I was right there with her. I was like, yeah, no, if they're not going to turn this off, Jen, you know how to turn things off. Go ahead, girl. Hulk smash.
But I felt like even the way that they reacted going into episode 9, like, she's locked up in the center third for a little bit of property destruction, because she literally didn't hurt anybody. All she did was smash the screen and run outside screaming.
Yeah, but I mean, she's not supposed to do that. She's supposed to keep it together, even though they're showing her wares out there. Yeah, no, she should just pay for it and keep it moving.
Yeah,
bill
no,
me.
It's the standard double standard of, you know, women can't be angry. Like, oh, she's got superhero strength, but she's also a woman, so she's twice as volatile. Like, really? That doesn't make any sense.
All right, let me just be real. If I had superhuman strength or superhuman powers, I would, in fact, be twice as volatile, because I would be 110% all about using my power to make you do what the fuck I want you to do.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because I'm not a hero.
I'm sure over at Inteligencia, they probably have a bunch of tests and whatnot to be like, oh, well, she's this strong, but what if she gets her period? Oh my God, she'll be like a walking nuclear bomb. Like, calm down, guys. Like, clearly.
That does sound like some Inteligencia shit.
Yeah. And it's a bunch of nerdy white dudes like, oh my God, what about her? You know, she can be twice as angry and she can, you know, throw cars at people who tell her she looks fat on her period. What if
now,
we don't, what if they run out of chocolate?
Will,
oh my God.
Bears.
Listen to me very carefully.
Is that what you want?
Those
Ron?
Are
bears.
Those are valid things, because on the way that I'm set up, I don't get no tacos. Yeah. Yeah. Bye, Michigan.
Damn.
Bye. Didn't want you anyways. So
start
there.
With, maybe you should start with Utah though. I mean, there are still some good things coming
out of
Michigan.
Get rid of wherever Eminem and Kid Rock are from.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh goodness. Oh my gosh. So then we get into this last episode where obviously she's in trouble with the law. She's trying to get her life back together.
I did think it was a smart move to the fact that they have Abomination's cell. Like, they know that it can hold him, so they figure it can hold her. That's just, again, smart character and production design to bring that back. And also probably it's a lot cheaper because you have the set digitally. Like, you can just throw it together. Makes sense.
Yeah, but you know what didn't make sense? Like,
cost efficiency.
Listen, I'm all about that. But this idea that, like, literally, for the first half of this episode, like, her life is completely ruined based off of one set of breaking screens. Like, the double standard is beyond real. Like, that shit was fucking ridiculous.
Well, I mean,
her cousin destroyed all of Harlem, and like no one has come out to say anything about that. Mm-hmm. And destroyed most of Midtown, you know. But he's just hulking around. You know how boys be boys. Hulk boys be Hulk boying. It's just locker room talk. We smash everything in the locker room. I don't know if you've been in a men's locker room. Everything is destroyed. It's what we do.
Oh my God. So her going to Blonsky's, literally looking to just kind of like try to piece it together, was great until we realized that Todd's bitch ass is running intelligentsia. I'm gonna keep saying intelligentsia now. I hate intelligentsia. It's so stupid. But he's running it and they're doing their little retreat with Blonsky, aka Abomination, as their like keynote speaker. This is insane, right? How good are her friends though for tracking all that shit down? Like
Nikki and Pug are the goat.
Nikki and Pug are fucking real ones.
I love that Pug, like, he's like, I don't want to go in there. Like, I don't, like, like, no, please don't make me.
Right, they're gross, and I don't want to deal with these gross people.
Pug, yeah, you could tell that he had had the necessary media training to not be a gross dude. And he went in there and was like, no, this goes against everything that I've learned. And, you know, I'm an evolved man. I'm woke, you guys. Like, yeah, you are woke, but you know, you know, you have these things deep down inside. Just say the things that your you know, lizard brain wants you to say, like women bad, period. Like, just go in there and be a gross dude for 20 minutes. You know, don't act
he
like
was
you're evolved.
Struggling with that.
So Eric's saying that he could do it. You wouldn't need us in your ear.
Every man can do that. Like it's, you know, I consider myself woke and, you know, I don't want to be the guy's like, oh, I'm a feminist. Like you should just be a feminist because you believe people deserve equality and equity. But like we all, like I've been around enough men, you know, quote unquote men to know all the gross things that guys think and will say when women aren't around. Doesn't mean that I say them or does it, you know, who knows? I could probably flip a switch if I had to. I can code switch to be a gross dude if I need to. We all
ew,
can.
Gosh, that's no. Not a flex. That's right. Not a flex. No,
it's not a flex, but it is 100% true. Every dude can code switch that if they need to.
Meanwhile, the guy that he's talking about that has all of these very nasty things to say is in fact his best friend and partner in life, Taco. Taco's just running around.
He
like,
did look at Taco when he was talking about
I
this.
I hate when women are here.
Well, Taco
Dad,
is
why
British.
Are you bringing these women in here? These harlots. Oh my God.
Meanwhile, Taco is sitting on the ground with his little paws crossed like, mm-hmm, you're talking about me? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's true. I hate these bitches.
Oh my goodness. So we get through this, you know, Jen goes down there. All of a sudden, shit starts going off the rails. Todd's a Hulk. Actual Hulk comes out of from nowhere.
Literally out of thin air.
Literally just popped through. And then fucking Titania shows up. Why was Titania there? Like, it was just
because
like,
she's our arch nemesis. That's why.
Everything in. I was
saying, if you know anything about Titania, you know Titania, much like another character we covered on Cup and Saucer, they just want to be involved in everything. They feel worse when you don't involve them. Even if it's crime or fighting, like they just want to be part of the equation. And they get mad if you don't include them.
Well, she included herself.
Oh, Gabby.
And we were literally on a collision course to a what the fuck is really going on ending. And then Jen breaks the fourth wall in the most epic way. Because y'all tell me, when it went back to like the Disney Plus screen, did you, like me, stop for a second, like, what the fuck is wrong with my Disney Plus? Like, why would it change in the middle of the show?
It's 100% brilliant that they did that. The only problem is going to be, like, in a year when they give it, like, a facelift. And if you come back to watch She-Hulk or anything on Disney Plus, it's going to look completely different. But for the moment, when it aired, it was – because, like, you see everything else that's on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, okay, I need to watch that. And then She-Hulk starts kicking out windows and not jumping where she wants.
And then we launch off into the absolute best ending for a fucking superhero show season I've ever seen, because it was brilliant to have her going through the Marvel Studios, refusing to just like have this stupid ending, breaking it down to the writers, insisting on talking to Kevin, and then she goes to talk to Kevin, and well,
Kevin, you discover that Kevin Feige is not real. And I picked it up when they, because I watch it with subtitles, and like she's like, well, I'll talk to Kevin. And they say it like it's written like the normal word Kevin. But when everyone else is like, well, you can't talk to Kevin. Kevin is an acronym. And, you know, it's like, oh, okay. So what are they talking about? And then you have something essentially it, like they took GLaDOS from Portal and made it into Kevin Feige, but they did such a good design where he's got these little tiny arms, and even the robot's face itself has a brim hat. Like Kevin Feige, who is famous for wearing a hat everywhere. I thought that was a great touch, and it made so much sense, and it was hilarious. For a minute there, I was expecting it to be actual Kevin Feige, but I think this is much better.
Yeah, I think it was also better to go that route.
And also, then I feel like Kevin Feige probably realized, like, hey, I can't act. I'm not an actor. Can we just make me a robot or something?
Yeah, I just, it was such a good touch, and for her to break down all the ways that the show needed to be hers, and it needed to be about her. I loved it. Like, I laughed the whole time. It was so good. But then we get to the ending.
I say she also basically was like, hey, this is what I like. I'm Jen Walters. I'm the She-Hulk. Can we do these things? Can we just bring back Daredevil just because he's a nice guy and, you know, I want to see more Daredevil. And even when she goes back, she's like, yeah, it's always so dark. Can this be during the day? What's Titania doing there? Why did Bruce drop out of literal space and then said some corny shit like, leave my cousin alone? It's like, yeah, that was kind of corny. That don't do that. And again, you're just being there as a foothold, you know, so that you don't have this man attacking a woman to make it like that was, you could tell if that was the original ending, it would have been written by a man who didn't want to seem sexist by having a man fight a woman. But it's more sexist when you don't think that the woman can hold her own, who is a Hulk and has been a Hulk longer and knows how to perform, you know, you're trying to combat sexism by being sexist. So
you mean that's not how it works? No.
It's that thing like when you watch action movies from the 90s and the early 2000s, when there's like look at The Mummy Returns, where like Brendan Fraser goes off and fights the mummy. But Rachel Weisz is sitting by her own, so they have to give her a woman to fight because she can't just help fight the mummy. She has to fight another woman because there has to be a cat fight. Yeah. And they did that a lot in the 90s where they just were just like, oh, well, it's not believable that a woman could somehow beat a man. How could she? Genetics. Science. I'm just a man. You're a woman. A woman with a brain.
Stop it. A brain the tenth size of ours.
I'm a man. Science. It's science. We built the Eiffel Tower out of metal and brawn.
Get out of here. Anyway.
I don't know when Ron Burgundy showed up. Sorry, guys.
He just scotch. I like that what Nikki wanted is what we got at the beginning, and then what Jen wanted. What Jen in the beginning when they were talking about like finding intelligentsia and like figuring all that out, Nikki was like, yeah, and then we'll take them down, you know, like She-Hulk style. And then Jen was like, no, like we'll take them down like via law, like I'm going to bring them to justice. And Nikki was like, oh, I guess if you want to be boring, we got that in the end. Like it started to veer off to Nikki land, and then Jen was able to park the car in Jen land, and I really appreciated that.
Yeah, it felt like the like Nikki was the audience reaction was like, this is a superhero show. We expect a big superhero showdown. But then you're like, well, no, Jen is also a like fully capable and intelligent lawyer. Like she might turn into She-Hulk to defend herself, but she is still going to bring these people to justice in a justice way. You know what I mean? And she even breaks it down to Kevin when she's like, well, it doesn't make any sense for Todd to get Hulk powers. That's not how it works. How would he have gotten my blood? They never explain how he got the blood in the first place. And I'm glad they didn't, because it probably would have gotten very gross. She's also like, well, I don't, you know, I don't want to have to fight Blonsky, but at the same time, like, I just want him to come to terms with his actions, to feel some sort of remorse for himself, because he is breaking the law, and I went out of my way to represent him and get him paroled. And mm-hmm. he was hiding it, and, you know, it's kind of fucked up. So I want him to feel remorse and, you know, get some type of comeuppance for his own actions. And mm-hmm. he does, you know, he signs the thing and he goes back to jail for violating his parole. And, you know, same thing with Todd. She's like, yeah, I don't want to fight Todd, but Todd needs to be brought to justice for what he did. He needs to have consequences. And that should be the main theme of this show, is that your actions have consequences, and they're not always superhero consequences. Sometimes your ass just goes to jail for doing fucked up things.
And
sometimes you
fun.
Need to get super punched in the hear. Face. Yeah.
I hear that jail's not fun.
No, it's not. Sometimes you need to get punched in the face. Sometimes you need to get punched by the law. So
I like it. So are we going to talk about the new family member? Are we going to get, or does that get into theory world?
No, I mean, at this point, it's not a theory. Like, the internet has already, begun, like, oh my God, we're getting World War Hulk, because of a line that Jen says when, you know, Kevin is like, hey, you know, what about this? And she's like, save it for the movie. Like, yeah, we know this is going to be a bigger thing. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if we'll get a World War Hulk movie, because there's still the issue with Universal and the distribution thing. We could. Because according to, I believe the Universal deal is up in like a year and a half. Mm. Or it might even be sooner. So they could be putting the building blocks in to eventually give us, because we know that we have some other slots on phase
that
six.
That haven't been filled.
That haven't been filled. And things are moving around. So, and you know, we get a first look at Hulk's son, Scar. So that means we'll also probably eventually see his baby mama, who was on Sakaar. And it all kind of wraps together with the first episode of the show. We now know that the ship, which was one of the Grand Masters, was a messenger class ship. And it just shows up to, I guess, bring Hulk the message that, like, hey, you're a deadbeat dad. You need to go and see Sierra the Old Strong, who is his baby mama. And that's why he goes to Sakaar. But also time dilation with gravity. So while he was only gone for a couple weeks on Earth, he may have been gone for a couple years on Sakaar. So mm-hmm. I assume we'll hear more about that in season two or wherever we see the Hulk pop up next.
I will say this, though. Scar looked like our own nephew when he gets dragged somewhere that he don't want to be. Because he was looking at them people like, why am I here? I mean, I know you're my family and I'm supposed to be here, but I don't want to be
here. Who are these tiny white people?
Right. I don't want to be here with these people. Who are they?
Yeah. And also, he looks like he's been on Earth for all of 20 minutes and you got him mm-hmm. going to a family barbecue.
Right?
Because he's still wearing his Sakaarian clothes. He's not like Hulk, who's like, oh no, I got this big Hawaiian shirt. like, maybe dress your kid like normal and don't let him get that weird, you know, he's got a haircut like
oh, the haircut. Yeah.
In Once Upon a Time in China, he's got like that Buddhist monk fighting warrior haircut.
I'm just also, saying, your kid deserves better, Bruce. You're a doctor, for crying out loud. Don't have him looking like that in these streets.
Yeah. Well, we also know that the actor who is playing Scar is Will Desner. Most people probably won't know him from this, but if you watch the show Stargirl, he plays the character Joey. Manira, I know you guys watch Stargirl, right? Do you know who this gentleman is?
Muted, sorry. We watched Stargirl for maybe six episodes. She got on my nerves, so I had to let that little white girl go. I do apologize. So no, I do not know who this gentleman is. I thought he was one of the I thought he was Arrow's brother, Arrow's cousin. But he's not. So
one of the Amell boys.
Mel's. Yeah, I thought he was an Amell, but he is not.
No. This guy, I don't know how old he is, but like when you see his face in real life and you see that they did basically what they do for Mark Ruffalo, where he looks mm-hmm. really good because he looks like the actor, but with
he does.
Defined jawline and, you know, they hulked him up. It's not yet known if, like the character in the comics, like he is a Hulk. He doesn't, you know, he can't transform. This is his state. You know what I mean? But the character himself has some weird history, and there's a lot to, like, we're not going to dive into World War Hulk, but there's a lot that could be coming. Although it doesn't seem as dire here because Hulk comes back with his son. And he's like, hey, this is my kid. It's also hilarious to see normal sized things in Hulk hands. Like, he has a whole six pack of beer, but it looks like, you know, when you get the little 4 ounce canned sodas, that's what it looks like in his hands. So it's an Easter egg, but the most obvious Easter egg I've ever seen in my life.
All I know is that one of our faithful listeners and friends, all he wants for Christmas every year is a Planet Hulk movie. And so I'm sure he was watching this show. I'm very, very curious to hear from him as to how he felt about Scar showing up in the end in the direction that he thinks the show is going in. Because that's all he's ever wanted. And we, you know, well, Kevin hasn't given it to him yet.
I was say Planet Hulk is kind of out of the window because we got most of that with Thor Ragnarok. Like, and I'm sure if they do World War Hulk, we'll have flashbacks to what Hulk was doing for the 3 years that, you know, that Banner was in the background and Hulk was in control. So apparently in those 3 years, Hulk was running around, you know, slinging it all over town and getting Sicarian women pregnant and, you know, being a deadbeat dad. So we might hear about more of that later, but I'm sure we'll get more of World War Hulk before we get Planet Hulk, because we already went through the whole Gladiator saga.
Fun times. Fun fucking time. So tell me something. Season one's done. We don't have confirmation yet if we will actually get a season two, although I have to believe we will with the ratings. Where does it go from here?
More Jen. We didn't talk about the Sokovia Accords have been
repealed.
So there's that, which is crazy because that was such a big deal. I guess they were like, yeah, thanks so much for, you know, bringing the other half of the world back. So we can't really tell you guys what to do. So we'll find another way to tell you guys what to do.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some type of registration popping off again. But also at the same time, like, the events of Civil War proved that the Sokovia Accords could be manipulated, you know, for someone's use. I assume, yeah, we'll probably dig more into more She-Hulk specific stories. Depending on how long it takes for them to make a second season, we may or may not see more of Bruce. Mm-hmm. I would like to see Blonsky show up as kind of like a side character, a little bit more, like, you know.
But where was he going?
Yeah, I was gonna say he dips out to. He doesn't stay in jail long. Yeah, he signed up and he was supposed to go back to jail. But as we know from Shang-Chi, he was slipping out of jail with Wong whenever he wanted. So he headed to
Carmitage.
Yeah, and he asked Wong about the Wi-Fi and, you know, what's streaming over there.
Yeah, I was hoping to see Madison, like, peeking out from behind the corner.
Yeah, I was fully
expecting. Saying Wongers.
I was expecting Madison to break him out of jail and, like, Wong just be in the background, like, him teaching her magic. So, who knows where it's going to go from there. Yeah. Between that and all the Easter eggs, like, I'm sure we'll see some of these characters again. The fact that we have Leapfrog means that we may get Stiltman at some point, and especially because Daredevil exists in the MCU now. Like, Leapfrog and Stiltman are original Daredevil villains. Same thing with Man-Bull. So there's a lot of cross. Like, I prefer them taking villains from Daredevil as opposed to taking villains from the Incredible Hulk's comics. Plus, we also know that Tim Blake Nelson is back as the leader and the main villain of Captain America New World Order. Not to mention Harrison Ford is taking over from William Hurt as Thunderbolt Ross for New World Order. You didn't hear that? Yeah, they just confirmed it this week. Yeah, Harrison Ford will be taking over the role. I was going to save it for Concentrated as news, but yeah, I figured we were talking about
that
stuff.
Oh, shit.
That's a good role. Like, you want a grumpy old man. There's no one really as grumpy as Harrison Ford. I was honestly hoping that they would have just gone and gotten Sam Elliott back, who played Thunderbolt Ross in Ang Lee's
Because that would have been good.
Yeah, he's an amazing actor, and I don't know, maybe they were like, he's getting old as well, but I feel like they want someone who they can eventually transition into Red Hulk. And I feel if you give Harrison Ford that opportunity, he'll take it, especially if he doesn't have to do much work. Harrison Ford is you know, famously very lazy. He doesn't like things, but he likes money. And he likes his you know, avian wife.
Yikes. Okay. All right. On that note, time to wrap this up. Eric. Okay. Yes.
It explains why Harrison Ford is always getting into plane crashes. He wants to be able to fly with his wife.
Eric.
Close to Flockhart to Bird.
No, I think we got it. I think we knew where you were going with this and what it's going to be. So now we're in this phase where we get a little bit of a break, right? Because this is done. I think the next thing is going to be Black Panther, obviously, which comes out in a couple weeks. But we get a little bit of a TV break until what's the next show? Because I thought it was Echo, but maybe I'm wrong. Sure.
Yeah.
Because we got all the stuff listed, but
I think the next one is Loki season 2, because I know they're already filming and they're mostly like done filming. Yeah, I don't remember. So it's She-Hulk. I know we're getting a What If season 2 that should be out in early next year. Secret Invasion is in the spring. Echo is in the summer. Oh no, Loki is in the summer as well. And then Ironheart is in the fall. Yeah, I think we're done until What If season 2, which would be in the beginning of 2023.
Right, which makes sense because if you've got Wakanda Forever coming out right before the holidays and then having that break, yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, guys, this is it for a little bit.
I would say 2022 has been a heavy year for Marvel shows. So, like, yeah, it would make sense for them to take, like, maybe a three-month break for the holidays.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we'll see.
All right. Well, you guys got anything else before we wrap up?
Just Easter eggs, basically. Hit 'em. Essentially, all of the characters that were at the retreat are legitimate, like, D-list heroes and villains. Porcupine is a real... you know, Marvel villain from the 70s. The costume.
Does he actually have any skills besides smelling in that costume or like any superpowers?
No, he's one of those older characters from like Tales to Astonish. Yeah, he's just a super villain created by Stan Lee. And he was a Fantastic Four villain, if I remember correctly. Mm. Yeah, Manbull was also a Daredevil villain from the 70s. El Aguila. Maria, you pronounce it Inteligencia.
Wait, what? El Aguila.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a, and it's funny because they're bringing in all of these D-list heroes from other MCU shows. Like he was originally a Heroes for Hire villain. So he was, up against, Iron Man and Power Man, Iron Fist and Power Man. Yeah, but he is essentially like Zorro, and you know, I believe that what's the translation? Eagle, the eagle. Oh, and of course, Saracen is an actual vampire, which they make fun of in the show. Like, you're not a real vampire. Like, no, he really is a vampire. Oh, well, it depends on which one. They don't tell us which Saracen. Like, one of them is a real vampire, and one of them is not. And I'm assuming because we see him out during the daylight, that maybe he is not the real vampire.
But I feel like he is. Like when he was talking about something, his voice got like really deep. When he was talking about like fighting Josh, his voice got really deep. He was like, "Yeah, we should totally kill him." Mm-hmm. I was like, "Oh, maybe he is a vampire." I feel like he is.
Well, we'll see. Maybe he'll pop up in Blade if that ever gets finished making. You know, if they ever finish
Yikes.
It.
Yikes. All right. Any other Easter eggs? We're not going to throw shade at Blade right now.
No, I want it more than anyone. I'm super happy. Yeah, like I said, I'm hoping maybe we see some of the characters like Leapfrog have been Daredevil villains. They've been Spider-Man villains. So maybe we'll see some of the lamer villains like him. Technically, he's a hero or a villain, depending on which one. Like I said, the character in the show is technically the son of Vincent what's his name? Vincent Petilio. He is the original Leapfrog, but it's the same way where he has a super suit that makes him jump very high. Not quite like Bartok the Leaper, who they've made more serious with George St. Pierre. Mm-hmm. But yeah, maybe we'll see him come back with Stiltman, another like 70s Marvel hero villain who is literally, that's his power. He gets tall. He walks on giant stilts. They were really, scraping the barrel in the 70s and the 80s. It was like, what could stop Spider-Man? Tall guy. Daredevil can't fight you if he can't jump up and get you.
It tracks.
Yeah. So we'll see how those go. And yeah, I'm assuming maybe we'll get more Daredevil villains and more of these like 38 villains. I hope we see more Titania in season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Because she seems just like an equal match in strength, but also just in her ability to take down Jen on social media. And those are the real villains these days, social media influencers.
Listen, you are not lying about that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, are there any Easter eggs that I missed? I'm sure there's a dozen or so at least with when she breaks the fourth wall and comes out into the real world, but I can't think of any on the top of my head. The whole Kevin thing still is hilarious. So that's all I got for now.
Awesome. All right, guys. Well, we loved it. And we'd love to know if you loved it. So make sure that you let us know. And you can do that a couple of different ways. You can email us to our email address, which is concentratedpodcast@gmail.com. You can drop a message on our Facebook page, which is Concentrated Podcast. Or you can hit us up on Instagram and Twitter. Our handle on both is @concentratedpod. So with that, guys, Harold's is going to take a little bit of a break until the next show, which seems like, right, whenever we get it, and which seems like might be What If 2, comes back. But not to worry. Of course, we'll be watching and reviewing Wakanda Forever, Black Panther 2. That's going to be done on our regular Concentrated stream. And of course, between Cup and Saucer and the Imperial Dispatch, we've got plenty of other things for you guys to listen to and join us for until we come back. So
also,
with this, go ahead.
Quick thing for the internet. Shut up. Shut up about She-Hulk breaking the fourth wall. I've been hearing a lot of people complaining that like, why is she doing that? That's what Deadpool does. If you want to be technical, She-Hulk did it first and has been doing it since the 80s. Deadpool didn't come out until the 90s.
And
when he did it, he wasn't, the original appearance of Deadpool wasn't breaking the fourth wall. So more than one character can do it. Maybe shut up.
Manir, your face right now is priceless. Like, well, damn.
I mean, I don't know what I've done so that my algorithm doesn't show me the hate. My algorithm only shows me that people are loving it. So when he's like, yeah, internet, shut up, I'm like, does the internet hate it?
Yeah, there are factions, because I've seen a little bit of both.
Maybe it's because like the internet knows that you're a woman and I'm a man, so they assume, hey, you want to hear this hate that other dudes like you are talking about. You seem like a neck bearded gentleman. It's like, no, I trim my beard, it's not on my neck, but
I am
a bearded gentleman.
Not a neck bearded gentleman.
It's also upsetting as a Deadpool fan. I've come to learn in my years of being a Deadpool fan that Deadpool fans are the worst. And much like any fandom, we can be great or we can be just a bunch of shitbirds. And it's until we get Deadpool 3 with Ryan Reynolds back in the suit, which we are getting with Hugh Jackman, the internet has decided to just hate on anything that's not Deadpool. So the announcement of Deadpool 3 with Hugh Jackman did nothing but like invigorate shitbirds out there. So again, two things can be true. Deadpool can do it. She-Hulk can do it. She's been doing it since Sensational She-Hulk in 1989. So
also, maybe don't be garbage human beings.
Yeah. Maybe enjoy the fact that you're getting both of these things.
Right. Because I remember wanting all of this when I was young and it did not exist. What a time to be alive. Stop your bitching.
Pretty much. Just if you got nothing nice to say, maybe just shut the fuck up.
And with that, guys, we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.
Peace. And don't listen to Inteligencia.
Yeah, don't listen. Don't listen to Inteligencia. Bye, guys.